Our scripture today is from Exodus 3, 1 through 15, and that's on page 44 in your pew Bible. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the Mount of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you.'" And then one verse from Luke 12, 49. "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled."
You all beat me. Wonderful. Does anybody see the offering bucket? Tor, do you want to see if it's back there? It's not back there.
I don't like it.
You know where it is? You know, I think Pastor Ryan does too. He's going to get it right now. Have a seat. Have a seat. Oh, that was a long scripture that was read. Do you know what I mean when I say scripture?
No.
I mean words from the Bible. Did anybody listen to that?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Okay, offering time. Oops, I even have some. Oh, and Z. Look at you. You don't have to put it in if you don't want to. All right, pass this over to Ian. Enzi's thinking about it. Oh, you're going to have to
get it, boys, because I'm here.
There you go. Nice throw. All right. In the Bible verses this morning, we heard about fire. Did you guys hear the words about fire? Good. Do you like fire? You've got a smile on your face. Some reasons.
And some not.
And some not. Okay, so you might get burned. What other things can happen with fire?
You get fire on you.
You might get fire on you, and then you'd get burned, right?
Could it be a wildfire in the forest?
Yes, and that
like
spreads.
Dragons.
Dragons breathe fire?
Yeah.
Exactly.
On every day.
Right, and things catch on fire, right?
If you kill a dragon, then you could put it in your dinner and eat it up.
Oh my goodness. Put it in your dinner and eat it up. Well, that's interesting. What are some other ways we use fire? For cooking. What, Ricole was going to say something. What were you going to say something?
Water dragons breathe fire out.
Okay. All right. And Joel?
You put wood on fire, right?
You put wood in the fire to make it burn. That's one way to make a fire.
To warm your house up.
Your dad did that last night to keep yourself warm. So there are some things that are about fire that we like. I like making s'mores over the fire. Do you? Yeah.
At the cabin.
You what?
At the cabin.
At the cabin. Yeah, we like that, don't we? All right. Well, today we have a Bible story, a scripture that involves fire. And I want you to listen for how fire.
It was my birthday last time.
Oh, we loved it. We loved it.
And
I'm a 4 years old.
And today we'll celebrate Tor's birthday, right?
Well, sometimes we use fire to celebrate God.
Say more about that. How do we use fire to celebrate God? Do we? Like? Huh. Keep thinking about that. I do see a little fire right now. Do you? All right. So, I'm going to get my things out. A long time ago, there was a man named Moses, and he was out on the edge of the desert watching his father-in-law's sheep, his mother's father's sheep. And when he was out there, he looked and he saw a bush was burning. He probably was worried that it was going to be a wildfire.
And it kept burning.
And it kept burning, but it didn't burn up. Didn't burn up. So
maybe
he went over to check it out.
Maybe if he was so close, it could burn him.
Right. It could have happened.
He could use a stick to burn it off.
Well, listen what happened to Moses. When he got close, he heard God calling his name, Moses. Moses. And Moses was very afraid. And God said, "This is holy ground. Take off your shoes." And Moses did, and he also covered his face because he was very afraid. But God said to him, "Moses, my people need help, and I have heard them. I have seen that my people are being unfairly treated. They are given lots of hard work to do. They are very sad. And they have called to me for freedom. And I am sending you to go save them." Moses had about 6 reasons why he shouldn't go. And he told God about them. And finally, God got tired of hearing his reasons, and he said, Moses, I'm going to take care of it. You go. And when you set the people free, you'll be able to bring them back and worship me right here on this mountain. So, guess what part I forgot to do? Light the candle. What can this make us think of in the story? What was burning? The fire. What fire?
The fire that God was talking through.
The fire that God was in. God was talking to Moses through the fire. Have you ever heard of that before?
Maybe he got burned in that.
It says in the Bible he didn't get burned, but he heard God's voice in the fire. I wonder why God chose to speak to Moses through a fire. And I wonder why Moses thought he was going to argue with God. Do you wonder anything about that story? What do you wonder?
Same thing.
Same thing. And I wonder why the bush didn't burn up. That is the end of the story today from the Bible. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all the ways that you speak to us. Help us to be ready to hear you in whatever way you will talk to us, in ordinary or extraordinary ways. Amen.
Okay, so what's the button?
It could burn right up, couldn't it? Oh, the smoke went up there?
Yeah.
I think someone is pretty excited for his birthday blessing. Toy, your birthday is Tuesday. How old are you going to be? 6 years old. Toy, I appreciate your just joy for life. You're such a pleasure to be around, and you have such an inquisitive mind. And you love to ask questions, and I appreciate that so much about you. So, Glen Heights, now I ask you, what blessings do you have for Tor as he celebrates his birthday?
Tor, you always make me smile, and that's a wonderful gift to have. So keep on making people happy. Tor, the kids love playing with you in the nursery. You are a lot to keep up with, and you're not into everything that you do.
That's a nice little slap shot.
Tor, I'm going to pray for you if that's okay.
What?
I'm going to pray for you. Eternal Lord, what a blessing Tor is to this community and this world. And what an honor entrusting him to our care, to allow us to show him Jesus, to teach him about your peace, and help him experience your love. Help us to find joy in this every day, and help us learn from the joy that he offers us. Help us to love Tor unconditionally, so that we can give him the space he needs to be the person you are creating him and calling him to be. Grant him wisdom to know how to expand his curiosity about this world, about you, and this beautiful life, while also extending the grace to him so we can support him and love him no matter what. Above all, O Lord, we ask that you bless Tor. Bless him with an inquisitive mind and a compassionate heart. Bless him with a life full of love that longs to serve others. Bless him with the courage to never stop being himself and to stand up for what is right and what he believes in. And set his heart afire for your love and your peace. Thank you again, O Lord, for this wonderful gift. He amazes us every day. And we love how you're using him already to bring about your kingdom to this earth. Amen. Thank you.
For our transitional song, please take your blue worship book again and turn to number 327, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 327.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer a sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings on mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Let us pray. O God, how we need your fire today. For today, your fire on earth burns a little less brightly than it did a few days ago. Touch us with your word. Transform us with your love so that we can share your fire with all we meet. Amen. Abba Lot went to Joseph and said, Abba, as far as I can, I keep a moderate rule with a little fasting and prayer and meditation and quiet. And as far as I can, I try to cleanse my heart of evil thoughts. What else shall I do? Then the hermit stood up and spread out his hands to heaven, and his fingers shone like 10 flames of fire. And he said, if you will, you can become all flame. What does it mean to become fire? What might it mean for our lives to be all flame? It's an odd image, right? Becoming fire. And I guess it depends on what you think about when you think about fire. Maybe you think about the forest fires, which recently ravaged the West. Maybe you find yourself thinking about Katniss Everdeen and the Hunger Games. Maybe the image of fire conjures up a whole lot of religious baggage. Or maybe you think about the men and women who, during the Vietnam War, burned themselves alive for peace. These are all images I found myself wrestling with this week as I've wondered what it might mean to become fire. However, this was not the first image which came to my mind. Now, the first thing I thought about when I thought about fire was a campfire. Flames of blues and yellows and reds, dancing and leaping, popping and cracking, devouring sticks and logs. There's nothing like a campfire on a brisk fall night with friends. I love all the sounds and the smell, comforting and cozy. How it provides warmth and light. How it makes possible for us to cook, sing songs together, and enjoy one another's presence. Fire. It's the ultimate paradox. Fire warms us. It's what our ancestors used so they could read late into the night. And it keeps us alive in the winter. And yet fire also destroys. It can engulf bodies, devour towns, annihilate whole cities. Fire is essential for life and civilization, and fire is a threat to both. Fire warms but can blister. Fire heats but can consume. Fire mesmerizes and yet petrifies us. I have a sneaky suspicion that this is why there is no image more pervasive throughout Scripture for God than fire. For again and again, God appears as flame. The two most familiar episodes are God revealing God's self to Moses in the burning bush, and then centuries later at the first Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes to the disciples as flame. However, there are many other instances of God drawing near to God's people as or in fire. God's presence is a flaming torch in the covenant God makes with Abraham, the pillar of fire that leads the Israelites through the wilderness. And God's glory is like a consuming fire, we are told, on Sinai. The psalmist insists that God's flame is to be our minister. The prophets, too, like to speak about God as fire. Sometimes it's a destructive fire, and other times as a refiner's fire, one that burns off all the impurities so that all that remains is what is precious. Jesus, too, comes to us as fire. Jesus is God's fire made flesh. For we are told that Jesus came to baptize us with fire. Likewise, the book of Revelation describes Jesus with eyes like flames of fire, a face like the burning sun. Is that how you picture Jesus? And in this morning's reading, Jesus himself tells us that he has come to ignite a fire on earth and how he wishes this fire were already kindled. Fire. Our God likes to be identified with flames. For this great reason, I guess it's not surprising that the desert mothers and fathers understood that the Christian life means being completely turned into fire. For we are followers of the one whose eyes are the flames of fire. This morning, I want to present three ways which help me make sense of what it might mean to be God's fire on earth. Three ways I understand flames to be my minister. First, fire is an image of God's love. For when I see Jesus, I see someone who set a blaze of love, a fire of love on this earth. Someone who, wherever he went, he made this world a bit brighter. Someone who illuminated love, who made justice resplendent. Someone who sparked hope and passion in the lives of his followers, like those who traveled on him with him to the road to Emmaus and were told that their hearts burned within them. So when Jesus talks about igniting a fire on earth, I hear Jesus saying this: I have come to set alight your love for me and for all things that are good and lovely. And oh, how I wish this fire were already lit. Fortunately, I'm not the only one who imagines God's love to be a fire. That Jesus came to set afire our lives in the furnace of God's love. There's a passage from the 13th century theologian, Metzfield of Magdeburg, who wrote about God as fiery love, passionate fire, indwelling and enlivening us. Here are her words: "Lie down in the fire and see and taste the flowing Godhead in your being. Feel the Holy Spirit move in you, compelling you to love God, his fire, and his flowing in many different ways." For Metzfield, God is the fire of love, flowing through our bodies, coursing through our veins, swirling through our lives. Lie down in the fire, she says. God's fire is the warmth of love enveloping us. God's fire is light, illuminating a path in the night. God's fire is the safe and sure comfort of love, the solace of God's warmth. Feel the Holy Spirit move in you. God's fire flowing in many different ways. Our life together as church, it's all about this divine fire giving light to see our lives and to see our world, to help us find our way, giving us light and warming us with love, the love of God, the warmth of fellowship, of friendship, of caring words and meals, flashes of divinity in our midst. Taste and see, Metzfield wrote, taste and see the flowing Godhead in your being. What we do here as church is welcome God's fire, God's warmth and light. That's why we light the Christ candle before church every single week. This is a symbol of the unseen warmth that we welcome into our lives through worship, through our gathering, as we sit and we stand, as we sing and we pray, as we listen and we eat. All the ways that we invite Jesus into our lives, the way we let God pass through us, through our gentleness and grace. And this is why we lit a candle for Corrine this morning. to give thanks for the warmth that she brought us and the love that she shared. Church is how we spread God's fire among ourselves right now, so that we can spread it with whomever we meet throughout our week. It's how we become God's fire, so that God's love can go everywhere. Another aspect of fire is how it creates the possibility of regeneration for new life. This is what I think the prophets were getting at when they called God a refiner's fire. For God is a fire that burns away all the stuff that blocks the flow of God's life in and through us. This blockage is what we call sin. The stuff in us and our world that blocks the movement of God's love, the circulation of God within and around us. For example, sin. The sin of pride blocks us from vulnerable relationships, from the risk of a relationship without posturing. Pride blocks us from knowing God's love through a friend. Jealousy blocks us from lives of gratitude, from recognizing the gifts that we already have, ordinary gifts, extravagant gifts of life. And greed blocks us from letting us know God's love for the poor and how it can flow through us, through our bank accounts, through our hands, as we share what God has shared with us. God's fire is grace, the flames of grace that burn through our sins so that love can flow in and through us. We see this phenomenon in the forests, where the majority of fires are healthy and good. Most often, forest fires removed low-growing underbrush. They clean the forest floor and allow the established trees to grow stronger and healthier. The charcoal deposited in the ground helps stimulate the conversion of ammonium to nitrates, which enriches the soil with nitrogen. In fact, many ecologists maintain that it's our suppression of fires, which is destroying our forests and also causing larger, more destructive fires. What we need, they argue, is not less fire, but more frequent purifying fires if we're going to maintain healthy forests. The same is true of us. We need God's purifying fire, affirming what is good, burning away all the corruption that disfigures the goodness of creation and the goodness of our lives. The desert teachers ran to the desert so that God might burn away all the attitudes and all the way of lives that were getting in the way of God's love. What parts of us need to be burned away? What needs to change so that our lives and the world can experience God's resurrection life? Maybe a good image for this kind of fire is to think about your life as a forest of ponderosa pines, which are native to Colorado. These pine trees are made to survive wildfires. Their trunk and their bark are fire resistant. In fact, a ponderosa pine, it needs fire because their pine cones, which contain the seeds, these pine cones only open and let out the seeds when they are exposed to intense heat. The seeds then find a place to germinate in the beds of ash left after the fires had died down. God is like that kind of devouring wildfire, burning through our lives in order to enable new growth, new life, a regenerative fire that burns only so that we might be renewed. If God is fire, we are a grove of ponderosa pines. Without the heat and burn of God's flame, our pine cones, they remain closed, and the seeds that are needed for this world are never released. God's fire is what we need for our thriving and our growth and our new life. There's one last way I want to talk about God's fire, and that's how fire serves as a companion. How it acts as a lover. For this one, I want to turn again to the familiar passage of Moses encountering God in the bush that perpetually burns. I've often wondered how long it must have taken Moses to notice that the bush was not burning up. How long did Moses have to sit there in disbelief? How many times did Moses second-guess himself? Did he squint and rub his eyes before he allowed himself to see the burning bush for what it was? I've often thought the greatest miracle of the burning bush was that of seeing. The fact that Moses took the time to pay attention to some random shrubbery for long enough to notice that it wasn't being consumed. There's no way I would ever notice God in a bush. But this week, as I was thinking about flames, I couldn't help but think about how fire entrances, doesn't it? At home, I get twitchy about every 2 minutes when I'm not constantly doing something and I have to check my phone. However, there's just something about a lit candle or a bonfire which captivates my attention like none other. I can just sit and stare at a fireplace for an entire evening and find joy. Fire mesmerizes. It's a great companion. And I have to imagine that this is why God revealed God's self to Moses in the image of a flame. God wanted to grab Moses' attention. God wanted Moses to get lost in the fire that is God. God desired Moses to be enamored with the God who can hold and wants to hold our gaze. In other words, through the imagery of a fire, God reveals to Moses that God is a lover, that our God is one who longs to hold our gaze, one who wants to fix our attention. Through the burning bush, God says to Moses, "Look here, look at me, and don't look away." That's what lovers do, after all. They gaze at each other, utterly not distracted, utterly focused in their longing and their delight. Our God is a fool for love. This the Bible makes undeniably clear over and over again. God is a perfect fool for love, fool enough to become human, to live in love as we do, to weep because he loves, fool enough to suffer and die on a cross. This is why God shows up that day in the form of a flame, because God burns with love. And God is searching for lovers, for people like Moses who are willing to burn too. People who find joy simply in reveling in the incomparable beauty of God. Because God is the fire who wants to hold our gaze and indeed our bodies too, like a lover does. We worship a God of fire, a God of love, a God of companionship, a God who longs to transform all that is broken and ugly and impoverished into something new and beautiful and life-giving again. The scriptures are full of stories which highlight how God longs to share the fire of God's presence with us, from the burning bush to the pillar of fire to Pentecost to even Jesus himself. For God's fire is a fire that wants to speak to us, love us, guide us, instruct us, and even save us. It is the fire of transformation, a fire that lights us up and changes us, melts us down and reforms us more nearly and more clearly into the image of God. This is the fire that God longs for us to become, the fire which Jesus himself baptizes us. With our lives, we are tasked to set this world ablaze with love. With our lives, we are called to affirm that which is good and protest against all the chaff that defigures the goodness of creation and the goodness of our lives. Becoming this fire, that's the nature of the Christian life. Queen Phoebe knew the God of fire, and she is a great exemplar for what it means to become completely flame. For despite all the challenges that were in front of her entire life, Queen never let anything or anyone stop her from reveling in God's love. God's love exuded from every ounce of her soul, And all she ever wanted was for everyone to experience this love which set her fire ablaze, the overwhelming joy of God which God brought her. Corinne made this world brighter, and she sparked love in our hearts. I remember how in awe I was of the depth of her love the very first time I met her at Starbucks. And the same is true the last time I talked to her on Friday afternoon. For all she wanted to talk about was not herself, but Doris and Olivia and all of you. She wanted to know who needed her prayers and who she could send cards to this week. That was Corinne. She was someone who had been completely turned into God's fire. So today, let us give thanks to God for the fire that was Corinne. Thank you, Lord, for her willingness to share this fire with all of us. We know that heaven is set ablaze more fiercely today because of her presence there. Amen.